Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
Thank you, Lord. I like that song. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. It's living, it's active, it's powerful, and it pierces even the heart and the soul of each person here, and even those watching online. We thank you, Lord, that you would minister your love and your word tonight. Use me as a vessel. Thank you, Lord. I give you glory and praise and honor. It's due to you. Thank you. So when I preach, I normally don't have a lot of notes. And so it's unusual for me to have notes to preach from because I like to preach prophetically. And so it's a challenge for me to do that and to present scriptures. So I have a couple of scriptures that I wanted to bring up. And one is, of course, what we just talked about, the Great Commission. And then the other is found in Hebrews chapter 4. And the title of the message comes from that. I titled the message, So Now What? Now that we have this great commission given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ to go forth unto all the nations of the world and to make disciples and to baptize them, that means we bring them into a commitment with the Lord, and then to teach them what the apostles were taught. And so we have a manifold chore given to us by Jesus to do. It's been the greatest fun in my life to go forth and do these things. The Lord wanted me to, I'm going to read this from the Passion Version. In Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace that we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. God is not interested in how strong we are. In fact, Paul said he delighted in his weaknesses because that demonstrated the strength of God in him. And it does in us as well. God wants us to come with our own weaknesses and to just be real. Be real with Jesus. Be real with one another. Be real with the people you're ministering to. They're looking for real in this hour. They've had all the things that look like church, all the things that look really good, sound really good, and they're empty. They have no life in them. When I minister, I like to minister life to people, and I like to minister from my life. And so the Lord wanted me to share some things. We have Mario Morello coming in the month of April, and so that'll be exciting. And he's got a tent that's 2.5 times the size of the one that he had previously to use at Thurman Field. And how exciting. This is not the first time that I've worked with Mario. In San Jose, California, in the 1980s, we had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Calvary Community Church. And I had the pleasure and the honor of not only doing the counseling for all the people that came through and were saved and were healed, but following up on them as well. And that, if you know anything about me, I'm into follow-up. That's my forte. And I don't like to just... God corrected me on that when I was young in Him. I went out on the streets, I was ministering, I was leading people into the kingdom of God. And then I came home one day in the evening, and the Holy Spirit says, "So where are all those people? What's happening in their lives, all the ones you led into my kingdom?" And I spent the next few hours weeping on my living room rug and crying out to God to forgive me. And He said, "Don't let that ever happen again." And so I've never let it happen again. I believe very much in following up on people and making sure a person's salvation, making sure that they get everything that they need from God, the Holy Spirit baptism, to be, if they want to identify with Christ and being water baptized, that's great too. We'll get them involved in that. But more than that, I want to make disciples out of them. I want to equip them for what's coming and not leave them empty, not leave them unfulfilled, not leave them with wondering what their call is, wondering what their mission or appointment is, and wondering what their gift or their ministry might be. We want to just help them discover those things and help them walk in them. And so that's been my life for the last 53 years. I've been at this a long time. So this is not only very familiar to me, but it's what I do. And when I train and equip people, I've trained and equipped in that time period when we had those outpourings in San Jose, he took 1 week in and went down to Santa Cruz to do a meeting there in Santa Cruz. And so what we did was the Lord had me put the word out to the churches in the area, and we had 1,259 people show up to take out on the streets, in the marketplace, to the colleges, and door to door. We covered every avenue that you could find people in. And the preparation that I gave the people is what I still do all the time. I told them, "I want you to pray. I want you to pray and ask God to show you the people that you're going to meet along the way, either behind a door or in a park, at a school." We went to every venue you could think of to witness. And we evangelized the entire town of Santa Cruz in one day. If you don't think it can be done, it can. I know, because I've done it more than once in my life. And the Lord wants us to realize that we have responsibility before Him for people. And so what happened there is a lot of things. Whenever I do things like that, we have a time afterwards where we all met, where we met originally and where I taught them what to do. And then we meet back there and we share what we call the spoils of war. And that's fun. That was so fun, because people were able to share the people that God showed them actually showed up in front of them. And I told them, "And be sure and ask God what you're supposed to say, and then just say it." And they did, and it worked. And they were blown away. My own time was quite fun. I was taking people door to door up in the neighborhoods, and I had to go to the bathroom, which we all have to do eventually. And so I went down, because I remember the gas station down on the bottom of the hill when we came up. And so I walked down to the gas station, And as I approached the gas station, I went to the bathroom, and I finished, and then I'm walking back, and I see across the street crowds of people. And I look, and it's a movie theater, and it's the premiere showing of The Return of the Jedi. It was when it was first being shown. And so the Holy Spirit prodded me. I want you to go over there. So, and the movie theater there has an old-fashioned ticket booth out front. So he said, I want you to just walk around the back, come out, and then I'm going to tell you what to say. So I said to the people as I came out, I said, I know you're all here to watch The Return of the Jedi, but are you prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you ready? Are you prepared? And it was fun because I got to walk through the crowds of people, the line that went all the way around the block, and minister to dozens and dozens of people before this meeting ever took place. We led 40 people in that line to the Lord that day, just waiting for that movie. I thought that was pretty cool. And then I was finishing up with the part that I was doing, so I thought, well, I'll go meet the rest of the team, my team downtown. So I walked downtown to Santa Cruz downtown, and it's kind of a unique little village there. And so it was fun. I saw my late wife, and I saw all my team. But as I approached them, I had this man come up, and he said he wanted my Bible. And I said, what do you want my Bible for? He says, I want to tear it up. I said, well, you can't have it to do that. He said, well, you better give it to me. And he reached down in the garden area that he was standing by, grabbed a brick, and he said, I'll bash your head in. I said, I don't think you will. And he's making a big commotion. So he gathers a whole bunch of people with all the commotion he's making. And so then the Lord just says, tell him to sit down and be quiet. So I told him, sit down, be quiet. And he had to obey. He sat down on the bench and had that brick, and he dropped it down on the ground. And he tried to open his mouth, could not open his mouth to say a thing. And so then I turned to this whole crowd that he drew and just shared the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And we led another 25 people to the Lord right there and then. That was exciting. You never know what God's going to do. This is the whole thing. I never know what he's going to do until he does it. And so I'm just available to be used. And I'm going to encourage you that availability is capability. Yeah, if you want to be capable for the Lord, then you have to first be available to be used of him. And it's very important to be used by God to do things. And we can look in the book of Acts in chapter 3, and we can see that the church was being transformed. It was growing. It was being birthed right there in Acts 2 and 3. And it's powerful to see what happened right there. It's powerful to see what was taking place with the saints. They were sharing everything. They didn't have anybody with need. They all gave generously. And they sold their homes. They sold their properties. They put it into it, laid it at the apostles' feet and let them distribute it. So no one went without. Everybody's need was met in the church. And the church was having souls added to it daily, it says. And there were things that they did that were very key. It says that they had fellowship together. They broke bread together. Yeah. And they prayed together. Yeah. And then they went out and they shared their testimony of the Lord and what he had done unto them with others. And God says he was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. I haven't seen that in a while. And I want to see that restored right now. I want to see that happen in our time, in our age, and see God move in power and in spirit, and to bring the people that he's drawing into the kingdom here. There's going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. I've had a vision where I was putting a puzzle together with Jesus for 2 days in a row. My times with God are kind of unusual. He takes me places, and I never know quite where he's taken me. And I don't know what manner of transportation I'm taking, other than just the Spirit takes me wherever. And it's fun. And so anyway, this time I'm with the Holy Spirit up here, and we're putting a puzzle, a giant puzzle, with pieces as big as this area right here, and putting it together. And when I find the piece and where it goes, it lights up and it stays lit. I go, whoa, that's pretty cool. That makes it easier to put together, you know. And so the first day we got about half of it completed, and Holy Spirit says, well, you're going to have to come back tomorrow and help complete it. I said, okay, I'll be there. And so we showed up in the morning, and sure enough, I went with him right back to where the puzzle was. And we put this puzzle together. And then he takes me up away from it so I can view it and see it. And I go, whoa, that's the bride. That's your bride. And he said, yeah, isn't she beautiful? Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, she's got so many flaws, though. He says, no, don't even think those thoughts. All those flaws are being straightened out right now. They're all going to be straightened out. And he said, she's going to look so beautiful. And I said, well, why am I doing this? He said, this is what you're doing. You're helping me right now do what you're doing in real lifetime. You're helping me put the body of Christ together, my bride. And so it's exciting to be used of God and to find out what you're being used of God for. That's even greater. I'm thankful to be here in this body of believers, in this family. And I thank Pastor Verna for the opportunity to minister from her pulpit. And it's actually his pulpit, but I understand that. But so I want to go to Matthew 28, and 12 through 20, which is the Great Commission. And Jesus starts off with it saying, all authority of the universe has been given unto me. So how much authority does he have? All authority. And guess what? He's given it to us. So what do we have? All authority in the universe. And when you realize that, then you got a good idea of who you are in Christ. And don't ever sell yourself short. And don't shortchange yourself in the ministry that God's handed you to and given unto you. Everyone here has gifts, calls, ministry, or is walking in them, and some of you have yet to walk in them. And how exciting to find out what they are, discover them, and then walk in them in the power of God. How exciting is that? So all authority is given to him. Now, whenever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even unto the completion of this age. So we need to know that not only we're out here making disciples, doing ministry in the Lord, and working with Jesus to build the kingdom of God, but he is with us forever. And he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to abandon you in the middle of the job. He's going to be with you to make sure that you can complete it, that you can do it. He's going to empower you with gifts and moves of the Spirit in order to see things happen. I've seen tremendous things happen. I had the pleasure in early in my ministry to work with Catherine Kuhlman. What a great mentor she was. Our pastor here reminds me of her so much. Really does. And so just wisdom came out of her mouth all the time. I remember her telling me that I had a realm in heaven that was created just for me. And I was so frustrated. I was always trying to find my realm so I could live from there to here rather than trying to live from here trying to get there. And so the problem with a lot of people right now, leaders, is they don't bring the presence of God because they don't dwell in the presence of God. And they have no power in their message because there's no life in it. There's no life lived in the Word, and no words are lived in their life. So therefore, they're just words. They're just knowledge. They're just words from the Bible being taught without any life in them. And God wants us to attach life to it so that when we minister, when we preach, like what I'm doing right now, there's life that comes forth from it. We've been commissioned to go out and make disciples of all nations. That's a pretty powerful charge. That's all nations. I went out to do that, and in my second season of my life, I had a discipleship training center that God brought me to, and to develop disciples and send them out all over the world. We had over 13,000 disciples come through there that meant business with God. And they took me to 58 nations of the world to plant works. That was fun. That was fun to go everywhere and to see what God's doing and how he's doing it. And he did some of the most unique things. I love how God does ministry. I love how he uses us to do ministry because it's always unique. Every person is unique. You're unique. You're unique. You're unique. And God wants you to know that he wants to use you to do that. So we can bring them into a commitment with the Lord. We can baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And if you want to get technical with some of the Pentecostal people, Church of God, into the name of Jesus too, if you want to do it that far. But the Lord, I've had to deal with so many different ministries in doing ministry in the church that I've had to deal with almost every denomination you can think of. And it's fun. It's fun because I learned all their quirks. I learned all the things that they had as doctrines. And I thought, well, this is really a stupid doctrine. How do you guys ever get anything accomplished? And so what God wants us to do is just keep things simple. Keep things simple. The word is powerful. It's really simple. He didn't say we had to teach them all of our doctrines of our church. We just need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we need to teach them everything He's, to follow everything He's commanded. So, you know, it doesn't get real technical. It's really easy to do. And it's real simple. The gospel is simple. The gospel of Christ is simple. Babies, it said, can teach it. Little children can teach it. I've watched them. I used to take mine out on the street. I'd watch them lead people to Christ. It was so fun. Watch a little five-year-old girl lead someone to Jesus and see them weeping and crying. And then she'd lay hands on them and pray for them. They'd fall in the Holy Ghost and start come up speaking in tongues. Yeah. We need to get children involved in these things. We think that it's for adults only. It isn't. It isn't. It's not for adults only. In the multitudes that followed Jesus, there were children. Lots of children. Lots of families. He had them sit down, and he had the first mega church and the first little church. He said, had the apostles sit them down in groups of 100 and groups of 50. A big church and a little church. And so he sat them down, and that's your first church, actually. It's the first church that ever met and was fed. They were fed supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. He took a little boy's lunch. That's all they could find among them. A few fish and some loaves. And he blessed it, lifted it up to the Father, and gave it to them to pass out. And they fed everybody, and they each picked up a basket. There were 12 baskets left over, one for each of them. Nobody went without. Everybody was fed. It got a little weird later on, because then the people followed him. And they came for the wrong reason. They came for the wrong meal. They came to be fed because they saw the miracles. They came after the miracles of God instead of God himself. And this is what God's after right now. He's not after the miracles that someone can do or not do. He's after people that can change lives. The gospel is about change. It's about being changed from what you were into what he wants you to be. It's all about change. And that was my great delight, in watching people's change take place. It was so fun, because I got literally prostitutes off the street. The sheriff's department would bring them to me. They'd bring me prostitutes. They'd bring me homeless people. I even put a word out to bring me the people that were in the locked mental facility, Semper Virens in Humboldt County. And they brought me their worst patient first. His name was Crazy Charlie. That gives you an idea of how crazy he was. Yeah. And everybody in Eureka knew him. Everybody knew Crazy Charlie. He got there, and he got out of their van that they brought him in, and he hid behind a rock, and he was talking to me. He says, "You see all the cowboys and Indians?" I said, "Yes, I do. Do you see that angel over there with a gun? He's going to shoot you in a minute. You're going to die, and you're going to get up, and you'll never see these things again. You'll be healed." I said, "He's cocked the gun. He's going to shoot you." He shot him. I said, "He shot you." He falls over dead. He falls over dead behind the rock. So I go over and grab his hand. I pick him up. I lift him to his feet. And I still got the two guys there that brought him to me. They're watching all this take place. He said, "Well, where are all the cowboys and Indians?" I said, "I told you, you're healed. You'll never see them again. You're totally delivered and healed, set free. You believe in Jesus?" "I want to," he said. I said, "Okay." So we prayed with him to receive Christ. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was so fun to watch. These two interns, or people that brought him and drove him there, watched this all happen. And they were blown away. They said, "Well, we got more we can bring." I said, "Well, you bring me as many as you want. I don't mind." We'll see God heal them and change their lives. And God did. He changed a lot of people's lives. I watch a lot of people be changed from what they were to what he made them into. And that's what God's into. He's into the change that makes people what he wants them to be. And so what does he want you to be? That's the question. So now what? That's the title of the message here. So now what? A little while back we had a message called What Now? And that was a good message, good word. But the Lord told me to change that one word. So now what? So now what? Now what do we do? Now that the Great Commission is to be activated again, and God is taking us back. This is what he's told me for this year. He's taking us back to the day of Pentecost. And we get a redo, a complete redo of it. We get a total redo of the day of Pentecost all over again. And we didn't do that great with it. Even the apostles, had problems. Even Paul had problems. He had problems with John Mark. He had problems with Barnabas. He had problems, there were divisions even then, early in the church, taking place. God doesn't want that in this hour. He wants unity to take place. He wants us to work in unity. I've seen it happen. It's exciting. I had it happen in Groveland. I had a men's breakfast for all the leaders that were here in Groveland, California. And I said, I'm only going to speak at one meeting, and that's this meeting, and I'm only going to share what God's told me to share. And then the rest of these meetings, these men's meetings, are up to you to minister to the people. Once in a while, I'll have a guest speaker come through. I had guest speakers come through. I had Alan and Joe Wright come through. Alan, I think of Alan's last name now. yeah, from the prayer group. Yeah, and so Alan was one of my disciples. So it was fun to see him come there and minister to the men. But the Lord, what he did was this is what I told him. I said, I don't know what you're doing to witness to the town of Groveland and to the surrounding cities here, but if you can't demonstrate love one for another, whatever it is you're doing isn't going to work. It has no value. It has nothing is going to happen. You're not going to see not even one soul change. So you need to learn how to love one another. That means you have to drop the doctrine you have, and you guys need to open up your pulpits so each other can speak in each other's church, and do that with your whole heart and trust that person to bring the word of God to your people. And if you can do that, then this is the last time you have to hear me minister to you. And so that's what happened. It was an amazing time to watch the unity of the Spirit that took place there. It was powerful. And I watched Assembly of God pastors ministering in the Seventh-day Adventist Church on Saturdays. And I watched the man doesn't have to preach on Saturdays, on Sundays. So he's preaching at everybody's church on Sunday. So that was really cool. And, God has a way of doing things that's beyond what we think. We need to get out of our thoughts and out of our minds and into the renewed, transformed mind of Christ. And let God reorder our thinking. And otherwise, we're just stuck in knowledge. Then we're just stuck. These are just words. That's all they are, unless you have the Spirit to interpret them. Unless the Holy Spirit interprets them to you and brings them alive in your life, they don't have life to them. And you can't give anybody life. And so God wants his church in this hour, more than anything, to live the words of God and bring life to people. And so I know I don't have a whole lot more time, so I'm going to ask Sarah to come up and play. And I will give an altar call. I'll let you know that Jesus never gave an altar call. Did you know that? He never gave an altar call. Search the Word. See if he did. He never did. Never gave an altar call. But I'm going to give one anyway tonight, just because he wants me to. So if you're watching, or if you're in this room, and you need to get your life right with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who is left here by Jesus to teach us, to lead us, to guide us into all truth and knowledge of the Father and himself. And he is really good at what he does. And unfortunately, the church hasn't been really good at what they've done. But they're getting better at it. They're getting better at it because he has eliminated an awful lot of the people that were doing it wrong. That's, I was telling Pastor Vernon, I'm thankful for COVID, because I look at COVID as a blessing, because it didn't clean the swamp of political realm, but it sure cleaned the swamp in the church. And I like what it's done there, because, you know, God wants to reinvent what he's doing in the church. And it's not anything new. It's something that was done long ago, but it just needs to be redone, and redone right this time. And I know my pastor here is on the forefront running this, and I bless her for it, and I thank God that I was plugged in here, and I can't wait till we're all released to go out and go into the marketplaces and the streets and door to door and everywhere to bring Christ to people. But I do it anyway. I've never stopped. I do it in grocery stores. I do it at gas stations. I do it everywhere people are that I meet. I've never been afraid of people. I've never met a stranger in my life. Never. I've met a lot of strange people. But I've never met a stranger, though. Amen? And so God wants us to reach out. So right now, if you haven't received Christ, I would like to pray with you. I would like you to invite Jesus Christ, our Savior, to come into your heart, to invade your heart, to take it over, to take over the very throne of your heart, because he wants to be the king, and it's his kingdom. It's his kingdom, and he's the king of it. And he wants you to know that you're a member of his kingdom if you receive him in your heart, if you believe with your heart. And he wants you to invite the Holy Spirit in. So invite the Holy Spirit to come in and take over your life. Teach you all about him. Teach you all about the Father. Teach you all about the Holy Spirit himself. Holy Spirit's awesome. You see him in Genesis 1. There he is, hovering over the darkness, hovering over the waters, hovering over the chaos. Yeah, and he still is. He still is. And he wants to disperse it. He wants to take it away. And he wants to bring revelation and wisdom from God into your life. Won't you let him? Won't you let him come in and bring that to you? Change your life. Change you into the person that you were called and meant to be. How exciting is that? Amen? Amen. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. And we just say right now that we receive you. And we, with our heart, believe you. Believe your words, and we receive your Holy Spirit into our life to change us, to bring the change that is necessary to follow you, to follow after what he commanded. And so I can feel the power of God as I'm praying this. I can feel it go out. I can feel the fire of God go forth. Father, thank you for those that you've touched right now. And if you've been touched, drop us a note. Get together with somebody. Tell them what happened. Announce it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear control your life. Let faith control it. Faith is the commodity of heaven. Hope is your checkbook. But love is the ready cash that we get to spend right now. You want to spend something for the salvation of others? How you do it is love. That's the greatest thing we can do. It's the greatest thing anyone can do is lay down their life for another. It's what he did for you and me. And that's what he wants us to do for others. Thank you for your time. I appreciate the time that I got to speak here tonight. And the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.